Welcome to and welcome to another edition of Fab Forum.
Fab Forum. No, I thought we decided we're not doing that
Who
anymore.
Who decided that?
I thought we all did.
Rob did. Yeah, okay.
All right. So what are we doing then, I guess, is the question.
We're going to give it a different name, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I guess so. And let's see, considering that the whole thing was really kind of becoming a free-for-all.
There you go. That's
what?
The name.
What?
Free-for-all.
Well, yeah, it is because it's a podcast.
Yeah.
And it's free
for
all who want to listen.
I hope
and
a lot
the Fab Four. Oh, I kind of like it.
Welcome to the premiere edition of Fab Four Free-for-all. How's that?
Is that a good name? Yeah, I think it's a great name.
Okay, good. I'm today's moderator, Mitch Axelrod, and you are going to be hearing the very first, as we said, premiere episode of Fab Four Free-for-all. That's Fab. Are we going to do a number four?
Yeah, I think so.
And a free?
Right.
And another number four?
Yeah.
All right, so Fab Four Free-for-all, and joining me, as always, are Rob Leonard.
Hello.
And Tony Triguardo.
Hi.
And we are going to be moving on as a threesome. That sounds so kinky, doesn't
it? Really, my God.
A little kinky. But in the coming weeks and coming months, we are going to be giving you the same quality shows, but with a different name. We will be transitioning the name, and you'll be reading all about it on our website and all that good stuff. Never fear, because we're always here, and we will give you a good quality program.
Thanks, Underdog. Anyway,
I was about to say Sweet Polly Purebred.
Oof.
But that being said, moving forward, we have a lot to talk about, don't we? Yes, we do.
We do.
Because on this day, when you hear this episode, it will be January 30th, 2012.
Now, wait a minute. Our episodes stay up for a really long time, so people may not be listening to it on January 30th, but
starting January 30th. And January 30th happens to be my 50th birthday. Thank you.
We're not going to sing happy birthday for copyright reasons.
And because you guys just can't sing.
Those people charge a lot.
They really do. But
I got a short story about that. I work in television, and we did a live show, and during the show, someone sang happy birthday. During the rerun, they had to go back and edit out happy birthday.
And they had the guy from Fridays come in. Happy birthday!
Yeah.
Happy birthday
yeah.
to you!
So it was like, I go, why? And they go, well, it's copyright. We can't leave it. I go, but it's already in there. They go, well, live's okay.
Really?
Yeah.
How funny is that? Well, you're right, because it's the one occurrence.
Right.
Right.
And then they fixed it.
Fair use. After that, it's up yours. So on my birthday.
It's tough.
Oh, I know. We could actually go back and end it. Happy
birthday. Those birthday people will kick your ass.
Yeah, happy birthday to you. Here's the season.
You know Sleepwalk by Santo and Johnny?
Sure.
Yep.
Johnny Farina owns the song, or half the song, or whatever.
He just owns the sleep.
And his brother sold off his rights years ago, and Johnny gets, I won't mention the number because he told me, but a nice chunk of change every year just for that song.
Yeah.
Just for that one song.
Oh, yeah, man.
See, and if people were smart and they didn't want to pay him, they wouldn't be sleepwalking.
Very nice.
Anyway, on this day of my birthday, Ringo Starr has decided to give me the biggest present ever, a new album.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the copyright ownership to a little help from my friends, but that's probably...
That would have been nice, but no.
He doesn't know that.
January 30th, 2012.
He doesn't.
Will
that's
you
right.
be quiet?
Sorry.
You're so unruly over there.
Michael Jackson and Sony ATV.
How did Michael Jackson get into Ringo's new album? Oh, my.
Imagine.
Wow, did we just go on a tangent, cosine, and secant, if any of you mathematics are out there, mathematicians.
I had to go to summer school for that.
Oh, wow, we went from Ringo to summer school. Anyway, Ringo 2012 is being released worldwide January 30th, 2012. We hope you buy it. We hope you have bought it if you're listening to it.
Well, January 31st in the United States.
In the United States, but we are a worldwide entity.
Yeah,
and some people, yeah, no, nobody cares. Sorry, all you people overseas, across the pond and everywhere else. And we do have listeners in Guam.
And they don't like the across the pond thing. They think we're being, like, stupid Americans.
But the Guam people like our episodes, and they'll probably hear this album before we
and
even come out with this episode.
They're paying us in bark or something.
In bark. Okay, so Ringo 2012, the newest, latest, and hopefully greatest. We will discuss that today. I am going to start off here because when we first heard about the set list for this album, or I'm going to say CD. I'm sorry if I say album. I'm old.
Actually, it is an album. An album is a collection of songs.
Ah, very
Thank
good.
Thank you, Robert.
And also, it is going to be available on vinyl.
Yes.
Yeah, so, all right. So, it doesn't matter if I say album or CD. People don't correct me. I don't like it, and I won't listen anyway. But Ringo 2012 is the new CD album by Ringo. When I first heard that he was putting out an album, and then we saw the songs, I said to myself, and to be fair, I have to put this out for full disclosure, Fab Forum had a very good relationship with Ringo about Why Not. We did an interview, as you well know, and we also did a radio show for him, so we were a little biased in that respect, a
right.
little bit. So
right.
I go into this with full disclosure that I wasn't trying to like or dislike this one because it's a new slate for us. So in general, I first saw there were 9 songs. 4 of them were covers. 2 of them covers of Ringo's own songs. And I thought to myself, okay, he doesn't have a title because it wasn't titled yet. And I thought to myself, this could be called Laziness and Leftovers. And I didn't know because I didn't hear it.
What?
And I just thought, you know what? There's
well,
only
you're
9
saying...
songs, but there's 4 covers out of 9.
Right.
And I again, Leftovers and
but
Laziness.
But I wouldn't mind if he did a whole album of covers. So,
no, you're right. But
so
I just
that's...
thought since it's a new album, I thought because he didn't say it's an album of covers. It's
I
a
thought
brand
it was
new
more
album.
Leftovers than Lazy. I mean,
well, I only thought Lazy because it's only 9
well,
songs.
Well, keep finishing the intro. We'll go into the
no,
more
I'm...
detail.
Fine. So anyway, we received the album, and the album is on Hippo Yumi Records. Once again,
right.
And you know what? I got to be honest. It's a nice listen. We're going to go track by track, just like Ringo did. It is available in vinyl version, in a regular version, and a deluxe version. The deluxe version has a DVD of Ringo Starr's interview with David Wilde, where he goes track by track for each song. He describes it. And to be honest with you, it's an Amazon.com exclusive. So for those of you around the world, it is available only on Amazon.
Right.
.com. And it's only a buck more than the regular CD. So
was it a DVD?
Yeah, it's a DVD.
Okay, well, you know, it's not a bad thing. You know, but at this point, you know, where you only have 9 songs, it would have been probably better just to throw the whole thing up there, you know?
True.
I mean, it's an extra dollar. It's not a lot. But at the same time, it's like, you know, just put it all out. We're all collectors. You know, you get the regular version, then you get the deluxe version, then a year later they put it out again with 2 songs and a DVD and, you know, a poster or something. And it's basically the nail of the hardcore collector. And we're hardcore collectors about certain artists, we all know. And it bothers me because I don't buy it. I usually go to a used store if I can, just because I feel like they're targeting me.
Taking advantage.
Again, you know, I don't mind spending the money, but, you know, it makes you almost say, well, I'll wait. You know, oh, the album's out. Oh, let's see. Well, I'll wait 6 months. And actually, it's bad for the sales of the album because you want to premiere high on the charts.
Right.
So, especially the way the charts work now, it's immediate. It's not like the way it used to be. It's both of you guys work in record stores, but no.
Well, you know what, though? It's funny because if you're buying it in any other outlet other than Amazon, you will get the regular version.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. If you are buying it on Amazon, and if you plan on buying it on Amazon.
And I assume
Amazon,
that's Amazon UK, too. I mean,
yeah, I think it will be, yeah. But if you're buying it on Amazon and you had always planned to buy it on Amazon, why wouldn't you spend the extra buck?
I agree with that. But it's like I said, Ringo hasn't done it as much. Paul did it a couple of times.
And he's going to do it again with his new...
And there's other artists where they'll put out, you know, the Dark Side of the Moon, the single disc, the double disc, the 6 box, there's the 17 version, the album version. You know,
they have the smarts to put them all out at once.
Yeah, that's true. I agree
you know,
with that.
But man, when you do it, like you say, over time, oh my God.
Now, how does that work for the
Elton
audience?
Elton did it with Peachtree Road.
Right.
It's been done a lot by a lot of
different
artists.
But how does that work in terms of sales? Because I'm not clear on this. Maybe you guys can help me out. Let's forget about everything else other than Amazon for now. If there's a deluxe version and a regular version, do they count separately in sales on the chart? Can Ringo be number 1 and 2?
No. It all adds up. It all adds up.
Okay,
so I guess unless it specifically says it.
A different skew?
So way it works is it just sort of adds up. Like Memory Almost Full had 2 or 3 different versions.
Yeah, a lot.
And I think that it does keep it on the chart a little because people do go back and maybe say, oh, well, finally he's done.
Right.
You know.
Oh, right, that's
so
true.
Addition this up. So that's part of it, too. It keeps the album fresh. At the same time, if you've already bought the album, you're like, oh, well, I want that too, but I can't buy the new disc that's part of it.
See, to me, in the age of downloads, and this is we're definitely being tangential here, but stay with us, folks. But, to me, if at the very least you could have a situation where, let's say the album comes out, Ringo 2012 comes out, and let's say 3 months from now, Ringo intends to do another release with like two additional bonus tracks or something.
Right.
If my having purchased it allows me to go online, put a code in, and download those two tracks.
That'd be a nice little addition.
You know what? At least the deal is, look, if you've already bought it, okay, that's cool. Here,
right.
You know, you can go get all the extra stuff as we add
it. That's not a bad idea.
And if you haven't, here's a new version that's another $2, and you know,
okay.
That's such a nice way to
go. That actually is good because it keeps you involved with the album.
Absolutely. It keeps you involved with the album, keeps you involved with the artist, probably keeps you going back to the website, then there's new merchandise, and blah, 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 blah. Anyway.
Well, let's get back to Ringo 2012.
The album.
Yeah, the album itself, because...
One day we'll just do a sidebar of the whole, you know, because we've all
downloading
worked.
And
you guys worked in the record store business. I've been enough record stores, God knows.
The Beatles in retail. That's
actually.
There's a future topic.
All right, go ahead.
But, you know, then came the title and Ringo 2012, and I thought my laziness thing came back to haunt me. I'm like, wait a minute, Ringo 2012. But you know what? We got some liner notes from Ringo's people. And he explains pretty much what's going on here.
And just to spare our fans, I won't read it in Ringo voice.
Please don't, Tony.
Please don't.
But no, you know what?
We get complaints. Come on, you know that.
You could start off with
that. That's like, please stop Tony from doing English voices. Damn the Monty Python people. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Now, go ahead. I mean, you could tell you want to read what it says here about the 2012, why he called it that.
Okay. At first, I was thinking about 2012 because, according to the Aztec calendar, the world is going to end in 2012. But it's just Ringo 2012 because this is where I am now. These recent albums are my autobiographies, and I do live to the best of my ability in the now. And, of course, I can revisit the past when I want to, but I don't live there. I try to have the good day today, not next Wednesday. That's just part of my makeup. I've always been more of an optimist than a pessimist. That's just how I was born, came with the body.
So, having heard that...
He's
living in the present. That's great. You know what? Even if he puts out an album in 2 years, it'll be Ringo 2014, and I won't have a problem with that, knowing what he just said, though. So, that's cool.
Also, that statement very much is what a person who's an alcoholic might say to, you know, live for today.
And he is recovering.
Yeah.
And he is, thank goodness, knock on wood, he's done well since, what, 89 or something?
Yeah.
God bless him and he and Barbara. Doing
and Joe
well.
Walsh, too. Yeah,
yes, Joe Walsh,
finally
too.
Cleared up.
Yeah.
And speaking of Joe Walsh, he is on this album. We should go through these songs real quickly. They are, and there's 9 of them, so it has to be quick. The album is way too short, just like me. But Anthem, Wings, now you might remember that was a song he put out on Ringo the Fourth way back when. It's a remake. Think It Over, a Buddy Holly song, which is on the new, and you have to hear this CD, people. Listen to Me, Buddy Holly. It's a really good one that Peter Asher put together. We'll get to that. Samba, Rock Island Line, which is a cover. Step Lightly, which is a cover of his own song again from the Ringo album, which we'll get into. A song called Wonderful, which I'm going to give it away right now, is just that. In Liverpool, another mini biography from Ringo about Liverpool. This is the third one, people. Did he get it right? We'll tell you. And Slow Down, not the song from the Beatles. And we did put a trivia question up on
the Facebook page.
Well, yeah, I know. Larry Williams, but people will know it from the Beatles. Sorry, Larry.
That's because Larry's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and should be.
Ooh, another
he
show. Honestly... It's a very short album. And by the way, Slow Down, we did put a trivia question up. If you read it, great. The question was, Slow Down is a song title that the Beatles used and Ringo has now used, and they're two separate songs. Can you people think of any songs, a title?
Song titles.
Yes, song title that the Beatles used and a solo Beatle used. And there, we came up with this. Okay, Rob, let's think of one.
Mr. Cotton.
Yes.
Hold Me Tight.
Yes, Paul McCartney on the lovely Red Rose Speedway medley.
Oh, God.
And the Beatles, Hold Me
Not
Tight.
Not a great medley.
And the other one is from Ringo himself. And it was?
Which one? I don't know. Go ahead. You say it.
Bad Boy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He did the song Bad
That's
Boy.
Right.
Most of you have not heard it because that solo album was not one of his most popular.
One of his most widely distributed.
Right. And the Beatles obviously did another
That's
cover
right.
of Bad Boy.
That's
cool.
which is really cool. So, and a lot of people got it, which is great. It's just a nice little trivia question. So let's go. Let's move on. Ringo, 2012.
I'm just laughing over the fact that it's taken you 15 minutes to do the intro.
Oh, shut up. It's not. Everybody, now, thank you for the show. We'll see you next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Now, I got to ask you guys in general, because we did say there's four covers, two covers of your own music. We're not going to go into each song right now, but what do you think in general of covering your own songs?
Well, there's many reasons why artists do it. First of all, if you look at like a Chuck Berry or Little Richard, or even Frank Sinatra, partly has to do with the fact that you've changed record labels and you want that song to travel with you. Of course, it's never the same version. But also it could be that he felt he missed something the first time around, which I'm not really sure was Step Lightly.
He does say in the liner notes that there was a lot of medication going on at that time,
yeah,
and he wanted to get it right. That's his own words, not me.
I know,
libelous or slanderous.
But it's not like he hasn't done this before. Ringo covered Back Off Boogaloo with Harry Nilsson.
Oh, yeah.
From Stop and Smell the
Rice.
Right.
That's a really good point.
And when
really
he did
point.
That, he included like a Don't Come Easy in there and a
Help.
Couple and Help. And he did a whole bunch of it was almost like Pandemonium's what's it?
What you're talking about is Nilsson did the first two albums,
yes.
Pandemonium Shadow Show
and
Aerial Ballet,
and then he
came out with Pandemonium Aerial Ballet, in which he recut his favorite songs off the first two albums and remixed them and got it right. Yeah.
And he also did, it's also like his Beatle medley, too.
Right.
So I'm not sure why he would do it and why choose the two songs he did. I mean, was he jamming and it came up, or was he playing with these guys? Oh, let's do Step Lightly. I mean, it wasn't a hit. I mean, it's on Ringo, so obviously a lot of people know about it. But it's also a different feel to what the Ringo album was.
And we'll get to that. So, Tony, in general, what do you think about?
Well, for me, I mean, it brings to mind, and it's funny, Rob, because had you not mentioned about Ringo doing Back Off Boogaloo, I forgot about the fact of Paul doing the whole P.S. Love Me Do thing, which was really kind of
controversial.
Yeah,
but that's for different reasons.
But he did that.
Different reasons.
He did that. Those are the only two songs that Paul owns. So he decided to give a little to who, I don't know if it's Michael Jackson or
at the
whatever.
Time, whoever
right.
it was. Yeah.
And then it ended up as part of the John Lennon, one of the John Lennon tribute shows or something. So, that was like, but they redid the whole song anyway.
Right.
Another example would be No More Lonely Nights. It's a great ballad, and then it's a dance track.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And a floor polish.
Well, and and a dessert topic.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live, people go watch.
But and Ringo redoing Love Me Do, which I don't think we mentioned.
Oh,
but,
right.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting Mike McDonald.
I keep forgetting it's on another album.
Michael McDonald.
It's also on Ringo's
right.
Old
Perfect.
Wave. Anyway.
Oh.
Wow.
Weird.
Anyway. But for me, when it comes to redoing songs, I always go back to, and pardon me, folks, if you folks don't know the solo music, darn it, go back and get some of it. But I go back. Well, no, I'm talking about Mike Nesmith, who is one of my favorite singer-songwriters and also was a member of the Monkees. And if you go back now and you look at all of the Monkee releases that have come out, the
reissues and the box sets.
But why am I forgetting what they were originally called? Missing Links.
Right.
It was Missing Links 1, 2, and 3. And now since then, there have been all the reissues and the box sets and things like that. You see that Michael would take a song, would do an arrangement of it, would do it a certain way, would step back from it, and they'd only have a certain amount of room on the albums, and Nesmith was just, spitting out material at that point, going in and doing these massive recording sessions on RCA Records' dime, or actually on CalGem's dime at the time, and would sort of either not get it to where he loved it exactly, but had those tracks been released, I think knowing Nesmith, he still would have gone back during his solo years the way he did with the song Listen to the Band, and redone it.
Right.
Because as you grow as an artist, I think you start to rediscover the same way as our ears grow, as we mature and we approach music a little differently, we may start discovering artists that we didn't love when we were younger, but now we go, wow, this guy's great. It's the same way. I think a lot of these guys, as they get older, they go back to their earlier music and go, wow, I kind of didn't blow that song off, but wow, I could have done this with that song, but I was either too stoned, too young, too whatever, and I want to go back and retreat.
Perfect
it
example
again.
Is John Lennon. He said he wanted to go back and redo everything the Beatles did.
Yeah, but that was John being John.
True.
Understood, but I mean, he did say, oh, I would do Strawberry Fields, and then he said, well, hell, I'll do everything over. But let's go through the tracks.
Well, one thing I just want to say, you talk about Nesmith. The Wichita Train Whistle. Is that the?
That's it. Yeah.
He went in and redid all the songs he had done up to that time as a monkey.
Yeah.
And he did his like big band or country, and you know it was this whole different album, which if I'm not mistaken, it's not available on CD. It's unfortunate.
It is now.
Oh, it is now.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
It's linked with the soundtrack to the movie Time Rider.
Oh, so oh, okay.
And it's a twofer, okay. And it's okay, great.
Wow.
So I mean, but there's another artist going back only 2 years later, or and, 2 years yeah. after he did the basic songs yeah. and redid them again. So it's but usually an artist will take the live stage and redo a song there.
Yes.
They'll maybe cut it down to more acoustic, or they'll add a guitar solo, or they'll do something along those lines where it becomes a different song. And because it's live, it's more acceptable. Where if they went into the studio and did the same thing, it might not be, they're like, well, why'd you record it again? And that's, you know, I think of the Grateful Dead, how songs would change over the years.
Yes, sure. Changing, without a doubt.
You know, we see live, you know, it goes from one thing, but the studio track was a whole, you know, other ballgame.
Right. So. Right. Absolutely true.
So let's get to the tracks because there's some great musicians on this album, CD. We have Steve Dudas, who's been with Ringo for pretty much a lot of the solo career. Bruce Sugar, Amy Keys, and Kelly Moneymaker are backing vocals. But we've got Joe Walsh, Ben Montench, people like Richard Page, who was on the last Ringo All-Star Tour.
You might want to toss out Ben Montench's...
I just said Ben Montench.
No, but give his pedigree.
My goodness, he's been with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers since the beginning.
Right. He's played with a lot of other
people. Oh, yeah. He's really good, though. Don was... is on this Van Dyke
who
Parks.
Was, who?
Don sorry? Was. He was.
Okay, but who?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
No, second.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd is very unusual to be on here, but that's really cool that he is. Dave Stewart is back here. So there's a lot of familiar names, a lot of
Edgar
really...
Edgar Winter. Did you mention that?
Edgar... Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Edgar Winter's on here, too.
Sorry, Edgar.
We love you, Edgar.
We love you, Edgar. He just wants to rock and roll, baby.
No, but there is a lot of really great musicianship, and I'm going to get to that as well. So let's go. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're expecting to hear the lyric, "It Don't Come Easy" on this album, he doesn't do it, which kind of is like, if anybody's seen Al...
I'm disappointed. I'm not buying the darn
thing.
Well,
no, but
then.
You know what? Like,
sorry.
If you've ever seen an Al Hirschfeld drawing from the New York Times, you have to go back and Google Al Hirschfeld. He put his daughter's name, Nina, in every drawing, every single one. And this is almost like Al Hirschfeld with Ringo.
No, but he does talk about peace and love.
Yes, he does, but he always does, it don't come easy. And I wanted to, I was listening to every single song going, wait, where's the, don't come easy, where's the, and he never did it. And at the end I went, oh, I just bought a fake. No. And so he doesn't do the It Don't Come Easy, but there are Beatle references here, folks. So we will start off. The first song, Anthem. I don't usually like a song that tells you it's an anthem, and the lyric is, this is an anthem. But you know what? It starts
we
off...
We will rock you,
yeah, we
damn
will
it.
Rock you.
We
no matter...
absolutely will rock you.
But
this song opens up with a marching tune, and then it opens up with the drum sample for Glass Onion. Yeah. Now, I guess you're allowed because Ringo did that sample and, you know, hey, or he paid. But it's cool. But I was thinking, I'm hoping he's not going to start this album with, like, total Beatles stuff because it's the first thing I heard.
He probably paid for it, seriously.
Oh, that's all right.
He probably paid for it.
But then, you know what?
Because technically, the Beatles don't own their own stuff. They control it, but they don't own it. But right. I'm sure Capitol, you know, charge him, like, dollars.
But here's his Peace and Love song right from the beginning. So he gets it out of the way, whether you like it or not. And it ends up being a lot different than I thought. When you first hear, this is an anthem, and you will hear it, of peace and love, it does then turn into a pretty cool song itself, pretty hard rocking. And you had an observation.
I thought the moderator was supposed to go last, but I'm just kidding.
I'm just going to...
I thought the first time I heard Anthem, I'm saying, boy, this sounds like a good beginning of a Joe Walsh song. Because, you know, last album, Why Not, started out with Fill in the Blanks, and that was Ringo and Joe only, and I figured he was going to do the same exact thing. And then I actually got the line, I saw the line notes afterwards, and I'm like, man.
I was very surprised that that's Steve Dudas on guitar.
So it's not him, but it's
very surprised.
He's channeling Joe Walsh.
Totally channeling Joe in that. That was mind-blowing to me.
I like that.
But I'm more interested that Glenn Ballard is the co-writer on this, because I would expect a sharper song. This is more of a jam.
Yes.
And I expect from Glenn Ballard a little more focus of a song.
Yeah,
he did
more
work
concise.
With Ringo before, though, Glenn Ballard. I believe on one of them he worked with Ringo as a writer, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
I think so. There was one song, if I'm not mistaken. But he worked most famously with Alanis
Morissette.
Yeah.
Living off those royalties for the rest of his life.
Rest of his life, absolutely. Tony, what did you think of Anthem in general?
I really, really, really liked it. I was actually kind of surprised that I did.
Good opener.
Again, I am absolutely not somebody that normally goes for an anthem type thing. I also notoriously hate songs that mention the words rock and roll in them, with the exception of Rock Show and maybe one or two others.
Rock and Roll Hoochie-Coo.
Okay, yeah, I guess I'll give you Rock and Roll Hoochie-Coo. I have to
rock
give you
roll
that
music.
Word.
I'm sorry, I don't like songs that mention Hoochie-Coo.
No.
So.
Rock and roll music.
Well, no,
yo,
but you know, all right, so you're finding some exceptions. But in general, to me, when you start getting into the whole, like, you know, we're going to rock you out. We love to rock.
Right, okay,
we love
yeah.
to, like, anytime you start getting into something that has rock in it. But no, I love it. I really like the effect in parts of Ringo's vocals being answered by the guitar or echoed by the guitar. I like Ringo singing over vocal lines to actually have the guitar following him melodically during the vocal line. I thought that was really a nice
you
and unique touch.
Off mic, that the guitar lick.
Yeah, the guitar lick at the end, there's...
Well, even in the beginning, it does too.
Oh, it does too. Yeah, that's a good point. But the guitar, at a couple of spots, you get the Day Tripper guitar lick.
Yeah.
Leaking through, which is very nice and kind of fun.
That's okay.
But I like the groove. I like the message. I also...
You can dance.
But I also like the fact that Ringo harmonizes with himself at a few points that are actually really very nice. I mean, Ringo is Ringo. You know, you're not getting Pavarotti here, but you're getting a mellow and sweet vocal that we're all so used to and so ingrained in us.
I think his vocals, actually, because of all the touring he's done, it's held up a lot better than it should have.
The man would
be
72.
Yeah.
I thought when he did Liverpool 8 that his voice was going then. And this guy is singing, you know, look, again, you said Ringo is Ringo. You take his voice for what we've always taken it for.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think he's held up incredibly well. And I was going to say,
much.
Vocally,
very
on
much.
This album, him singing with himself and the backing vocals are especially really effective. And I think vocally, this album is really good.
At points, in fact, I found his voice was a little bit buried in the mix. I do love the mix of the album in general, but a couple of points his vocals are a little bit dropped down in the mix when they actually didn't need to be because they're so strong. The vocals are so strong.
Well,
but anyway.
The next song we have is Wings.
Okay.
And this one, you know, immediately I went back and listened to the old version from, 77?
77.
Yeah. And I said, let me do it first before I hear this. To refresh my memory, because honestly, folks, I don't listen to that album a lot at all. I really don't.
Right.
It's just not one that is.
Well, those two albums, Bad Boy and Ringo the Fourth, are not high points of Ringo's career.
No.
For many reasons, not just musically.
Right. Well, they might have been high points, but sorry.
Well, you're right about that.
But you know what? I went back and listened, and then I gave this one a spin, so to speak. And you know what? I think he bested the other one. I really do. The other one to me was always very slow and dragging and vocally okay. But you know what? His vocal sounds the same, but better. But he doesn't sound like he's older. It's weird. Same thing with one of the other tracks on this. But I just think it has a different groove to it. He sings the middle eight, the break, differently than on the original. So it's just it really is a different song. I think the drumming on this is a lot better, which I really think on the album. I'm a drummer, so on the album in general. At the age of 72, I hope I can rock like Ringo was doing on this album. But I liked Wings. What about you?
It's the question of why with this song. I mean, there were maybe other songs from either one of those albums, if you're just looking for a song that most people wouldn't know to recover of your own.
Maybe Crying?
Crying or, you know, something like that. I don't know. I just was like...
You wanted to go back in country. Maybe you should have done Crying. Ringo, you listening?
I mean, the track is obviously better than the original. I really do believe that. But I'm trying to figure out why you would cover that song out of, you know, if you're going to, I mean, he wrote here in the liner notes, it says, I wrote Wings with Vinny Poncia in New York, and he doesn't know that I've done this yet. I'm going to surprise Vinny and send it to him. And I'm like, is it to say to Vinny, this is the way it's supposed to sound, or is it like, Vinny, here's some more royalties?
But it does have, like he says, it does have a little bit of a reggae feel.
Yeah, and he's...
It's different.
And it fits into this album, but I'm trying to figure out why that song...
Well, I'm going to pull up a weird reference here, and correct me if I'm wrong, but back in the Fab Forum days when we spoke to Ringo, well, you guys spoke to Ringo, and I got to play it back. Wasn't there a comment made about Vinny Poncia?
Yes, it was.
During the interview. Yes, and Ringo responded kind of warmly to that and said something about either working with Vinny or...
I always thought he said the opposite.
What did he say? We'll have to go back and listen ourselves to our own show.
You know, Vinny is sort of a legend in the rock world.
Yeah,
you know, he's been around forever. He's played with everyone. I don't know. I mean, just to me, this... And one of the things about this album is it's an album of songs, but not an album. And Wings is one of those songs, especially after Anthem. I mean, Anthem is 5 minutes. It's the longest song on the album. And then you go into Wings, and I'm not sure, maybe placing Wings there is the wrong place. And sometimes, you know, placing an album of how to program an album is just as important as if the song is good or
totally
not.
So, yeah, totally. Placement's really important.
Well, it's funny because, we'll talk about, I still want to talk about Wings, but right after that, you get a song which is like the shortest on the album. So you're going like from long and short. It's like, wait, you're killing me here.
I really like it. I think it's a really nice remake of a song that I didn't originally love the song by any stretch. I have to be honest. I thought it was one of the stronger tracks on Ringo the Fourth. Again, probably among my least favorite of anything in the solo Beatle canon, really.
Yeah. But, that album?
Yeah, that album in particular. But I still, you know, the couple of tracks here and there, if you isolated them, I always thought were okay.
Yeah.
And Wings was one that I always kind of liked.
It was pretty slow and methodical.
That one
it was slower, and maybe that's why he made it a little faster.
I was going to joke and say it's no Tango All Night, but I'm sorry, I'm kidding. Anyway, I do like the reggae-ish vibe to it. It's not committed to being reggae or ska, but I do kind of like the fact that it's got that reggae vibe. And you're right about the timing on it. It was got a great groove and nice guitar work again. And it blows me away that Ringo is the sole drummer on this album. Blows me away. Totally blows me away.
I've noticed,
that's the key of anything on this record. It blows me away. He is listed as the sole drummer and percussionist
on
this album.
And, you know, folks, say what you want about Ringo, the luckiest guy in the world, the best drummer in the world, whatever you want to say.
I don't agree with that.
I got to tell you, on this album in particular, at 71 and whatever he recorded this, his drumming is probably one of the best on his solo career.
Yeah.
I mean, really listen to the drumming. It's up in the mix. And also, it definitely has a different feel than any other CD he's done. Maybe it's because he had the surgery on his shoulders a couple years ago, and he's able to do different things. He drums out of the box a little bit, so to speak.
Right.
His drumming is still good. I mean,
We love you pounding, Richie. We love it.
And we are going to take a break right now. We'll be back talking about the new Ringo CD 2012 right after this.
The guys at Fab Four Free For All are delighted to be giving away copies of the Blu-ray and standard DVD of the new movie, The Love We Make, courtesy of Eagle Rock Entertainment. Love We Make is a chronicle of Paul McCartney's cathartic journey through New York City in the aftermath of 9/11. And Fab Four Free For All have a number of copies to give away to our listeners. To enter the drawing for your copy of The Love We Make, please send an email to Fab4FreeForAll, that's F-A-B, the number 4, F-R-E-E, the number 4, all, at AOL.com, and specify in the subject heading whether you're interested in a regular or Blu-ray copy of the DVD. The drawing for the winners of the DVD will be held on February 29th. It's our way of saying thanks for listening to Fab4FreeForAll.
And we're back, and we're just going track by track on the new Ringo CD 2012. It is being released on January 30th worldwide, and we hope you are going to get it, or hope you have gotten it if you're listening to this after the fact.
What would be fun is if somebody just went to the mailbox, they just opened up their Amazon.com box that came, and they opened up and they go, oh, yay, the new Ringo album is here, and then they listen
to us.
And then they listen to us. Before they even play it, or after they play it.
That would be nice.
That'd be nice.
And then they write to us and say, you guys are totally off your...
Yeah.
Can we have someone that sounds like this?
Yeah, what's all the time with someone at Helium?
Oh, look, it's the new Ringo album. Let's listen to it.
Well, no, Tony right now is actually clenching his fist like a bodybuilder and in the studio go, look, it's the new... I'm not thinking bodybuilders are going, look, it's the new Ringo album.
It's not being played while they're...
Yeah. We will bench.
Ringo wants to pump you
up. Yeah,
off.
Please put on that song Wings so we can pump. No.
Next
is Thinking Over. And, folks, this is also a little bit of a weird choice to me because the song is a Buddy Holly original.
Well, I understand why it's on.
Oh, no, absolutely. First of all, it's a really rolling number, a really fun number. It's like 3 seconds long, which...
Ringo doesn't roll numbers anymore. He's quit doing that.
Thank you. Oh, crap. Roll numbers.
No, I'm just...
I know. We had to get a reference in there somehow for a show. Yeah. Boom. Thank you. Anyway, this is a great song, and he did it originally with Peter Asher. The Listen to Me...
Well, he did it for him. Peter wasn't on it, really. He wasn't,
right. Right. He did it for that album, right. But Peter produced it, I believe.
I'm not sure of that. The liner notes don't say that.
Yeah.
And at the end, it says just produced by Ringo Starr. Doesn't okay. say...
Peter Asher was involved.
Yes.
Asked him to
Peter
be on this
asked,
album.
Yes, Peter asked him. He said, it's a shuffle, and you do shuffles well.
And he does it really well. And this song is great, but it's weird, because if you heard it on Listen to Me, you then hear it again, but a lot of people, to be fair, may not have heard it on Listen to Me. And if you hear it on this, you're not going to mind it, because it just sounds like a really cool cover that Ringo did.
Well, first of all, I like the fact that it's on this record. As someone who buys the records and, you know, the special releases and everything. You know, the thing about Paul is the two versions of It's So Easy from Rave On, Buddy Holly, going to be on Paul's next rock album? Probably not. So it sort of saves you money, though we do highly recommend Listen to Me as a second Buddy Holly cover album.
Yeah.
Because Rave On was really good stuff. I mean, Patti Smith doing Words of Love, I was really affected by that. I was like, wow, she actually did that well. So, but Thinking Over to me is the best song on the album. It stands out. It jumps out at you and says, embrace me. I am a Buddy Holly song, and Ringo is covering it. And it's Think It Over. It's not Peggy Sue or something that everyone knows right away. But it definitely sounds like a Buddy Holly song. And I was really impressed with it. And I'm glad it's on the record. I'm glad it's on the Listen to Me, but I'm also glad it's on the record. I think it's the best song on the record. And I like what Ringo said. You know, he said, well, I'm going to give you this track. He's saying to Peter Asher. But I'm going to also put it on my album, too. And it had to be pretty recent, you know, that he did this, because the album only recently came out. So
I think that Think It Over is without a doubt one of my favorite Buddy Holly songs, period, among my top five Buddy Holly tracks. Ringo definitely lays claim on it with this version. I think it's nice. Ringo makes his own mark on it.
It's different.
The steel drums are definitely an anachronism, to be honest with you. That steel drum vibe throughout is a little bit of an anachronism for the time of the song, but it's cool. It pulls it away from the Buddy Holly original. It makes it a Ringo track, definitely. And Rob, I do agree. It's a really strong track on the album, but I somehow feel it's a misfit. You know, I don't know why. I just feel like
it's so short. I think that's part of it.
It's short. It's almost like the commercial break on the album. It's kind of just like you get to track three. It's like, now a word from our sponsor. Okay, now back to the rest of the album.
It's only a minute 48.
It's a minute 40 something or whatever. Yeah. And
when you're getting into it,
it goes
and
away.
You want to clap, you know, you're clapping with and shuffling with
it. It goes
bump,
away.
Bump, bump, bump. Wait, please. You have to push repeat.
Well, one thing I give him credit for, he didn't add 25 guitar solos or other things. Just
he kept it pure.
You know, he just kept it and said, okay, it's minute 48.
Got it. That worked.
You know,
and
so
it probably only took them, you know, 3 minutes and 48
to
total
do the
for
track.
Everybody.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was just a good reason. Maybe it doesn't belong in the third track, but it definitely...
That's possibly true, too. Yeah, maybe a different sequence spot would have made it.
But I liked it a lot. I think it just grabs you.
And Richard Page is on this one, his backing vocals as well, which he played with Ringo in the last Ringo All-Star Tour.
Again, and Ringo using All-Star members on this album. Which he did on Why Not. And it's nice that he does that. I think, you know, one of the enjoyments of seeing Ringo live is Ringo interacting with other musicians who, you know, aren't maybe as famous as him or, you know, maybe are famous as him, you know. But at the same time, you can see the enjoyment. And I'm glad Ringo's bringing in, instead of just having a session guy come in.
Right.
You know, Edgar and Richard and... Like I said, on the last album, he had a whole bunch of people.
It's just so cool you can get guys that do have such big names, but still pull something out of them that just feels so damn organic.
Yeah, and I've always wished that, like, an all-star band, and you can pick any one, would actually go into the studio and cut a couple of songs, you know, and just not the ones they do live.
New songs.
Yeah, just figure out, because each musician brings something to the
table. Or some covers. I mean, you know, imagine getting a band of those guys together and tossing out a cover that they've never, you know, that they don't do live.
Right.
But going, you want to go in and do a couple of Holly's tracks?
Yeah,
he said no Ringo voice.
Sorry.
So I was.
That wasn't Ringo. That was my Paul. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's actually a guy named Simon who lives in Manchester.
Manchester.
Random Mancurian.
Yeah, right now Simon in Manchester is going, that wasn't me, right?
Sorry, making fun of me.
Yeah, right, well.
Sorry, Simon.
Click. Let's go next. The next track is kind of interesting. To me, this is the misfit on the album, Samba. I like it. It's just weird. It just all of a sudden it comes up with a Van Dyke Parks came up with this cool track, and it's really fun. It's just all over the place to me, but it's fun, and it's also, it gets dark and in vocal, and then it gets up, and then it's just silly, and we say, okay, you know, it's just Ringo being Ringo. That's all right.
You realize that somewhere some Beach Boy fan or Van Dyke Parks fan who's not heard the album yet or not bought the album yet just went, because you said Van Dyke Parks in the same sentence with Ringo Starr, and somebody just went, what?
So, are you doing a Brian Wilson impression?
No.
Terrible.
You mean Van Dyke is working with someone else, not me?
Now I'm going back
to
the sandbox.
If we have to...
I'm going
to
go on tour with Mike Love now. That's what I'm going to do. I'll show him.
No, you know what, though? Honestly?
And we've lost Rob.
Rob will be back in a moment. He's coming back now. No, we have to say, though, that Ringo and Van Dyke Parks do have a connection because they were both part of the All You Need Is Klaus CD.
Right.
The Klaus CD
right.
that he did. And I believe both of them were on there, and they have been good friends for a long time. So it's no surprise. But this kind of weird song, I mean, I don't know where it goes. I don't know what it's about, but it's a samba, and it's Ringo, and it's fun.
Well, you know what? It sort of reminded me of a little bit of Instant Amnesia, where there are three separate parts of that song, and it's... And I like Instant Amnesia a little better than this. This is, tries to, I guess, go in different directions, and some of it works, and I don't know, some of it to me didn't work. I'm not a big Van Dyke Parks fan, sorry. I know he helped create some great songs over the years, but I don't know, I've always thought him a little offbeat.
Yeah,
and
so,
this song perfectly
And maybe that's why it works for him, but I'm not sure if it works for Ringo.
You know, I'm glad it's not really like a true... Samba, like I'm glad Ringo did.
Yes,
I had this fear that Ringo was going to be doing this all out
on Dancing with the Stars
Latin type thing, and I kind of just went.
He did that already with Pasadoble.
Yeah, that's true, but I like that though, actually.
Yes.
But anyway, I'm going to bring him back up again only because in my notes I forgot that I was going to bring him up this time, so I brought him up earlier. This just smells so much like it would have been a track that would have been on one of Mike Nesmith's solo albums in the late '80s or early '90s. It's got a tropical, country, folky, weird...
I could see Jimmy Buffett doing this.
That's where I'm going. But Buffett and Nesmith had a lot of crossover vibe at that time. It's a weird-ass track. Honestly, man, it is unique for Ringo. There is no A, B, bridge, B, A, B, A structure.
It goes to Z.
Not at all. Yeah, it goes to Z and then back to sort of A.
Right,
and then
it sort of works because of that. Let's do something different. It does work.
I can see Ringo in the studio, though, listening to playback and just dancing around.
Yeah.
Because Ringo being Ringo. And that, I give him credit for that. I don't love this track, but it's fun. I don't skip it on the CD when I listen. I like it.
Yeah, I like it. I'm looking forward to it being something that, for me, would go on like a random compilation CD if I threw together a bunch of Ringo tracks that I liked that were a little
like
left
Ringo
of center.
Like Ringo Missing Links or something.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a left of center kind
like
of Ringo track.
Starstruck 3 or 4 or
there
whatever. The next two are remakes, Rock Island Line and Step Lightly. Let's talk a little bit about Rock Island Line. It's the old Lonnie Donegan skiffle hit, but Ringo doesn't do it that way.
No.
Ringo does it total full balls to the wall, so to speak, rock and roll. I like it. It's a straight rocker, and it also has the distinction now of being one of the only songs that all four Beatles have done in some incarnation.
I was going to bring that up. You
Where's Rock Island Line for Paul?
Paul did it. I do have audio of him doing it somewhere.
Yeah,
I know that.
It's shown up on a couple of the the bootlegs and
John,
stuff like that.
John, actually, Paul did it more, a little bit of a, like Ringo does it, but Ringo does it more rock. John, actually, on one of the floating songs out there, did it more in the Lonnie Donegan style, where he actually tells a little story before. And George did it in rehearsals for Saturday Night Live with Paul Simon.
That's right. Okay.
So it does actually, that's pretty cool. The Ringo now like sort of completes, will the circle be unbroken? That's that.
Okay.
So I like it.
Rock Island Line, there is a version of it on one of the Ubujubus. So if those of you who have heard the Ubujubu radio show, or those of you who bought any of the Ubujubu Dutch import CDs, a version of Paul doing Rock Island Line did air on Ubujubu. Also, just a note, we always often do sync it back to Lonnie Donegan, especially because there's the Liverpool connection, there's the British connection, there's the skiffle idea. But just to let folks know, the song goes back to the early 30s. It was sung by inmates at the Arkansas State Prison and then was originally done by Leadbelly. So it's a Leadbelly tune, actually. But, of course, any of the guys in the Beatles would have known it as Lonnie Donegan. It was the founding point of skiffle. Really.
And Kenny Wayne Shepherd is on this, but it's so weird because Ringo comes out on the liner notes and says, he's a great blues guitarist, and he is. But it's so funny because this song is not really blues. This song is rock and roll.
Straight 4/4 blues, okay.
It does rock. I like it.
I like it. I think actually it should have been the opener of the album.
Oh, interesting.
Because I think it just kicks in right away, and I think maybe it'd be the wrong choice since he didn't write it, and I guess he wanted to have a self or at least co-written song at the opener. But I liked it a lot. Edgar Winter's on it playing sax. It's an interesting choice to play at this part of your life and release it at the same time. It's hard to say how much Lonnie Donegan and that song influenced the whole British Liverpool scene.
Mercy Beat, yeah, right.
The Mercy Beat, you know, that's like ground zero, so to speak, for the whole thing. You know, the whole movement of skiffle and how it changed Liverpool for musicians and stuff. So, and Ringo talks about it in the liner notes, saying, hey, you know, I did it with the Eddie Clayton Skiffle Group. I think part of it is just, he talks about this album being slightly autobiographical. This is his way of saying, okay, this was the song we did back then.
The nod, yeah.
But not the way we did it back then. That's the only difference. Obviously, they wouldn't have done it this way. In Liverpool, I should say.
A couple of nice quick points, too, if you
not the song in Liverpool.
If you go to the Wikipedia entry for Rock Island Line.
Because we know Wikipedia is the be-all and all.
No, but I'm just saying, it's very funny. It is
I understand.
It's very funny, but it's nice to see Ringo's cover was already listed.
Yeah. If you look up Wings, it's there, too, as 2012.
Cool. Okay. I mean, the thing is, if you heard the original and this one back-to-back in a restaurant playing in the background, wouldn't even know it was the same song.
Because Lonnie goes on for, like, 2.5 minutes of
the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing, again, with this version that I just freaking love, at the end, the drumming takes this funky turn, and it very briefly, for about 8 seconds or so, becomes the train.
Yes,
he does the skiffle train drumming while still surrounded by the full rock arrangement.
But you know, one thing I do want to say on this too, drumming wise, he goes into the second verse with one beat of a drum that's echoed. You hear bump, 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 and then he starts the second verse, and I'm thinking,
yeah, that
wow,
was kinda cool.
It's sparse. It's one drum beat, and it's Ringo. That's it.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, that musically, that's really cool.
Yep.
And it just works.
Yep.
So it's a really cool song. Now, the next song I'm going to say, I think, is the clunker on the album. You know, I have
Clunker's the wrong word.
No. Not for me.
Okay.
You could use a different word. For me, the only, and I don't skip over it because it's okay, but it's Step Lightly. You know, this was on Ringo, the album, which most people will call his masterpiece in his solo career. And most people on a masterpiece album know every song. So this is ingrained in my brain, this song, and Ringo tap dancing on it. And he even says he took lessons from Gene Kelly on the original, you know, and he went into...
From a guy who had a lesson from Gene Kelly.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. So it's like, you know, Gene Kelly's, you know, protege or whatever. So it was weird because I like this song from Ringo. It fits in so well. It's nice and slow on that and into a nice little shuffle. Ringo does his little tap dance. This one is completely different. I didn't like it only because I didn't give it as much of a chance because I know the original.
I didn't mind the track. In the liner notes here, it says he wanted to make it shorter because he thought the original record went on too long, which it sort of does a little bit. I understand why he's thinking. Plus, he felt he can do a better version because, as he said, he was on his medication at the time.
Mm.
So to me, the good thing about this song, I hope, is that, you know, Ringo usually does two songs. You know, when he goes out on tour, which he's doing in 2012, he usually picks two songs off the album to play. I hope this is one of them. Because it's on the album and it gets to get played in All-Star Band format, then I'm happy that it's included. I sort of agree with you at the same time that so many people would know this song that, you know, why would you cover it again? But, you know, it's up to him. It's his album. I didn't mind. I thought I liked what he did with it. I agree with you at the same time. It's like, I would consider it a clunker, but I'm trying to figure out why it's on here. But I'm glad it's on here because I'm hoping he does it live because, you know, I would just love him to see them do the whole Ringo album.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you did not ever hear Ringo, the album, what would you think of this song?
I would like it.
You would?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Yeah. And I have to be fair about it. You know, I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I
like it. It's cool, yeah. But it's a little too fast for me. Maybe only because I know the original. That's all.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, Rob. I would like the song. If I didn't know the original, I'd like the song. I do like it. I think it has the undercurrent of the original that was on Ringo. I thought the problem with the song was despite the fact that he was kind of trying to tell the guy, so you're going to find yourself a love that's going to last and, you know, et cetera. The song always had this kind of melancholy feeling to it that I kind of thought didn't necessarily jive with the lyrics totally. Ringo's delivery was a little slow. The song also always had this kind of funky undertone.
Like a bass.
A bassy, funky overtone on Ringo, which I like. What he does on 2012, though, is he takes that funky overtone and brings that totally to the forefront.
It's a very up album in general.
Yeah, and he kind of funks up the original.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
He funks.
I also think that the original song has sort of a little bit more of a blues feel, while this one has more, you're sitting in a semicircle and you're strumming a guitar. And when you're strumming a guitar, it sounds
chunkier.
Sounds bluesier. Yeah, so chunkier is a good word.
Chunkier.
Especially for this song. So to me, you're sitting in a half circle, you're strumming the guitar. It sounds better than if you were to play a blues riff or a steel guitar type of thing that the original has. Though it's not steel guitar, but you know what I mean.
And I got to tell you, it's funny.
It's not
a cover again. It's a reworking. And to me, you know me, I don't want to, like, kiss anybody's bum.
We say butt here in the America.
Kiss anybody's ass. How's that, A-R-S-E?
He says that with a British accent.
Yes.
Thank you.
Simon's back.
But my feeling...
Simon.
But my feeling is... And this is with all due respect. You know, Ringo gets all this guff from the, you know, well, he's Ringo. You know, like you say, the lucky one, you know? I have seen major, major, major musicians try to do reworkings of their material, and it's come up as crap. I mean, really just junk. And here's Ringo pulling it off a couple of times on this record. It kind of blows me away.
The one thing I was hoping I'd hear the tapping again, which is replaced by keyboard and wonderful keyboard, by the way. Not the song Wonderful, but Ben Montench is on this.
Yes.
And he does, and it's really good. But I was hoping that we would get a chance to interview Ringo again, and then I can say, did you have a stunt double doing the tapping this time? Because you're 72 instead of 32. So,
stunt double!
Exactly. Bring in the tapper. Ringo's not doing that much promotion for this, so we're not going to get a chance to ask him. But Ringo, if you're listening, you can write us at our email address and tell us why you didn't tap to this, because that would have been kind of fun. Anyway, the next song is my personal favorite on the album. It's called Wonderful. The title describes the song perfectly. This, as Tony said, I'm going to steal it. Tony, this could have been an outtake from the Ringo album. The premise, really, it's just, the worst it ever was wonderful, and I'm not going to go anywhere from there. They wrote it for Barbara. Gary Nicholson co-wrote this. He worked with Ringo before on Why Not. He wrote Peace Dream. I got to tell you, this song for me is my favorite. If the album can sustain a little bit, you know, and I hope so, because Ringo albums don't usually sustain sales-wise. But if this can sustain and he puts out a video for this, I'm telling you, it could be good for him. It's a really strong track. And no one says anything.
I like the song a lot, too. I agree that this is one of those songs that probably outlasts the album. If this was 20 years ago, where albums were given time to build up and grow and
percolate
and, you know, be heard on the radio and stuff, to me, maybe the best song on the album.
It's one of his best in the solo canon, I'm going to be honest.
I just liked a lot of things about it. It reminds me a little bit of I'm Yours, in the sense that you didn't expect that type of song from Ringo when he first did it on Vertical Man. And it's, I thought, a really strong song. There's a line in the liner notes I have to read. He goes, "I hope this will be my big Valentine's Day song. I see a whole ad campaign, roses and Ringo, because women love both, and don't forget it."
If he must say so himself.
And I'm like, I'll say, you know, maybe Barbara should be saying that.
No, but you know what? It's weird because this could apply to any couple. At all. The worst it ever was wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's a nice up-tempo. It's not like a slow love song.
You know what I'd like to see with this song, seriously? You know, Ringo's, a lot of guys he's written with are part of the Nashville scene. This song would be a great cover in as a country. And I don't mean real country, but like, you know, the...
Modern country.
The modern new, country. You know,
country rock pop.
You know, the,
not the old
Faith Hill type of country.
Oh, yeah.
Where this song, I think, covered would help push this song into the recognition it deserves. And it would be interesting if that were to happen. I'm not sure if it could.
Which is really interesting. You take the idea of Ringo, the songwriter.
Yeah.
You know, which is unique at this stage of his life, the game. Even, I think, among Beatle fans, he, you know, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, Ringo, and Ringo writes songs, too. I think of the Family Guy episode with, you know, oh, Ringo, look, we're going to put your song on the refrigerator.
Thank you. Yeah.
But to me, I'm with both of you. Probably my favorite track on the album. It's sweet. It's catchy. Really nice chorus. Ringo refuses to go gently into that good night.
No.
He's writing his Valentine's Day song and...
Well, co-writing.
Co-writing. And we're going to talk about Paul's Valentine song, probably in the near future.
Very near future.
And I've given him one A and B. I think I like this one better.
Oh, my goodness, but, don't go there.
But anyway.
We'll have to kick you on the bottom.
But my feeling is that the whole album is big on vocal and guitar interplay.
Yeah,
and
it's
that
very,
comes
very
on this, and
up.
I love that.
Yeah, this, I mean, it started from one line that Gary Nicholson heard two people saying the worst it ever was wonderful. And they both took it from there, and oh my.
And that poor guy that originally said it isn't getting a dime. So,
no.
Sorry, tough cookies.
I was on
that's
that
how
bench.
Songwriting
Ringo got a songwriting credit for a line.
Yeah, really.
Right one for me.
Right.
Mark Hudson tells the story. You know, him and, I guess, Gary Burr were going to Nashville, and Ringo said, well, write one for me. So they did.
And can I just say something while you mention that name? And I know, you know, mentioning Mark Hudson and Ringo Starr in the same sentence nowadays.
It's
verboten. Yes. But you know what? I mean, Mark Hudson did some great, great stuff with Ringo. I will say this. This album, Ringo produced it by himself. All right? And I'll tell you right now, this album has a very Mark Hudson-y feel in production.
Yes.
Vocally, harmonizing-wise.
Well, there's a lot of harmonies on it.
Yeah, a lot of harmonies. And I immediately said, wow, that's cool. He's not that he's trying to do a Mark Hudson thing, but you know what? If you're listening, Mark, you know, kudos to you because, you know, maybe you forced him in that direction because it really is kind of cool. But we are going to talk about a song which, you know, we were talking about. The album is very up in general. In Liverpool is the next song. And it is, as Ringo even says, it's now the third of his mini histories. He did Liverpool 8. He did the other side of Liverpool. And now he does In Liverpool. I got to tell you, this one's the best for me. Liverpool 8 was nice, but lyrically, I just can't deal with the rhyming and stiming and all that. It was a little too odd for me. The other side of Liverpool, my 10-year-old still sings like crazy. Catchy, less dark, but a little still dark in there. This one, it's so up, and it was co-written with Dave Stewart. And most people, you know, I don't know, but a lot of people didn't love the production of Dave Stewart on some of the stuff. But on this song, I think it works beautifully. It's very, very up. Staccato violins in a great use on this song just gives it a very up feel and not a down, dark feel.
I like this as the third Ringo in Liverpool type of song. I liked it, too. I actually like Liverpool 8, even with the silly rhymes, because I think it's a great football song, as they call it in England. Not soccer, but I think it sounds like a song it could be sung at a the Liverpool Stadium, or, you know, it wouldn't be anywhere else, really. But you wouldn't say Tottenham Hotspurs or anything like that. You got to be careful, because the Brits like their football, not soccer, football.
You say the wrong thing, they'll eat you.
They'll
actually surround you, and they will eat you.
They'll be on the jet tomorrow, landing in JFK. They'll be saying, where's that guy, Rob? He said the Tottenham Hotspurs.
I think Simon will do that.
Yeah, oy, Simon will be.
Oy, Manchester.
Where's that Rob Leonard?
It's
got to start with, oi. Oi, where's that Rob Leonard? Oi.
Well, we'll send you some pubs in the city, guys. How's that? Oh, okay.
Okay, you're forgiven.
And we've lost the British audience. Okay.
So I like this song a lot, and I like The Other Side of Liverpool, which I thought was a little more darker than Liverpool 8.
But it was good, though.
Yeah, I liked it. And this is fun, too. What I'd like to actually do is sit down and see the lyrics, just read the lyrics of each one of these songs and try to figure out where he's going with each one, because obviously he has an idea. Because obviously he said this way he was going to tell his autobiography, so to speak, instead of writing a book, which I still think Ringo should write a book, because, as I always say, if you don't do your own history, someone else will.
Yes.
So he at least sit down and, you know.
But he said he doesn't want to do that. He just wants to write his history in music. Well, and he's sort of given that to us, I guess.
I can only hope that he has done something, and then when he does pass on, that they say, well, here's the new Ringo autobiography. So that way he doesn't have to answer.
And I got a quick note. He does use the line, here comes the sun in Liverpool. So I was kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. That's fine. I'll let you slide. The last song. Oh, Tony, I'm so sorry. I just don't like hearing from you anymore.
Oh, okay, thanks.
That's okay.
Okay, we're going to turn your mic down now. Okay, so there you go. Thanks. Mitch is mouthing over there.
Marcel.
It's another one of his autobiographical things. Okay, it's a nice arrangement. Nice instrumentation. I'm done with the trilogy. I'm done with the autobiography thing.
Star Wars.
I am done. I mean, I love
him.
Where
did Ringo come from?
I like knowing his story. It's nice. This, to me, is the... Okay, enough already. Like,
The next album's going to have Dingle Bells.
Yeah.
He came from the Dingle people. Right.
That's very funny. And if he's hearing this, I have a feeling it'll be on the next album.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't kid yourself, though. I mean, I love when Ringo's telling a story. I do agree with you. But what I would have loved, in all seriousness, I would have loved an EP called Ringo, Liverpool. Give me an EP with three songs on it. To me, again, like, you know the way you'll say certain songs because of the arrangements? If we go back and we listen to certain albums, the album's really good. Then you hear one song that dates the album. Like, you hear like the one song that you go, oh, my God, only in 1974 did they use that really annoying...
Ebony and Ivory on Tug of War.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. It totally dates the album. Ebony and Ivory dates Tug of War. But if you take this record, the thing is, Ringo, the autobiographical tracks, kind of, they don't date the album, but they kind of give the album
I don't know. I think if he does a fourth one, it's like, you know, we'll get into Rocky IV stuff, you know.
They diminish as they go. But actually, I like this one. Musically, you're right, right? It is more upbeat than
it's
the other.
It's definitely more upbeat. Yeah. And don't get me, it's not that I'm going to skip the track or anything like that, but I think...
I didn't want to when I heard it. You know, there was a couple others I did.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have wanted to skip it or anything like that, but it's just... I don't know. To me, it's the one that kind of skews me a little. So otherwise, like, I really, really like this album. I didn't want to. I went into this album just going, nine tracks, a bunch of covers. Ringo, what are you doing to me here, babe? What are you doing?
We're not done.
You know,
you're already given the end result.
No, but I'm just saying. But anyway,
I don't like you anymore.
Go ahead. Okay.
No, I'm sorry.
Like
I don't.
I mean, I like the idea of the EP, actually. But now that he's done the three.
Yeah.
But then you would include maybe Rock on the Line and maybe some other stuff. That would be an interesting.
Nice.
Call it a Ringo 3P.
Actually, that's kind of interesting if you were to think of it
the
that way.
The Roots of Ringo.
Has he done any videos for any of the Liverpool songs?
He did. Liverpool 8 was a
there was a video?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I never saw it. I don't go on YouTube all the time.
You call yourself a Beatle host.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't. I call myself Rob.
And we do, too. And now we're going to get to the last song on the album, and it's called Slow Down, and we mentioned before it's not the version.
Thank you for laughing, Tony.
The check cleared. But Slow Down is the end of this particular CD, and he always has a penchant of doing great closers on his albums. You know, listen to Time Takes Time, What Comes Around Goes Around.
That's a great closer. This is not up on that level. I like this.
I disagree.
First of all, Joe Walsh is on it, so I love when Ringo and Joe play together.
Yes.
There's a thing that Ringo lets Joe play.
Yes.
It's not like you see Don Henley cracking the whip in the background.
Yep.
So I love when Joe, and I would love Old Wave for what Joe Walsh was allowed to do on that
yes.
record. It's not always perfect.
No, but.
But it's, and especially at that time when they were all drunk.
And in a hurry, but and, me.
Yeah. But I really enjoy when Joe and Ringo play. And you know, because he's back with the Eagles, he's not allowed to play with anyone else, I guess. So he hasn't really played with the All-Stars in a while, except visiting guest things.
Well, we should tell people, it's funny you brought him up again, because at first Ringo wanted to call this album Motel California because of a cool picture of an L.A. motel he wanted on the back cover. But he said that, with a laugh, he said, but he figured his good friend and brother-in-law Joe Walsh was already on a good album with a similar name. So that's kind of funny, too.
I think it would have been funny as hell.
But he also wanted to call it Wings, and he said Paul would have probably been cool with it, too. But he said, so.
That's very
but
funny.
You know what?
Wings over Ringo.
Wings over Ring.
That's good.
But you know what?
It's okay. It's a nice jam.
The harmonies on it, are, yeah. And vocally, it goes in a succession of harmonies. It's great. No, that's right.
I have a feeling that out of all the songs, this one's going to grow me probably the most. It's one of those songs, it's the end song, so it's usually you always have to have a good ender for an album. I think this probably grow me the most. And it's maybe too early to say in and out of how I feel about this. Right now, I'm like, okay, you know, there are better Joe Walsh Ringo collaborations. Fill in the Blanks was a lot better, which I love that song. I love that opening track on Why Not. You know, I just thought of something. The opening of Why Not was Joe and Ringo. The closing of this is
Joe and
Ringo.
Yeah.
The Joe
yeah.
and Ringo show. But no, but you know what? I love the sentiment of the lyric, too. The chorus is slow down, calm is good, when your mind is busy with coulda, woulda, should. And it's the end track. So they're saying, you know, just people, slow down, you know, live in the day, which we said in the beginning, that's what Ringo wanted to do, is doing. So I like the sentiment. I love the harmonies on this. So I think it's a cool closer.
To me, this is the Ringo album outtake.
Oh, really?
Of the bunch. It's not, but I'm just saying, to me, and musically,
no, I mean,
vibe-wise, for some reason, the times I've played this track, each time when it finishes up, I think to myself, that's the Ringo album song that wasn't. That's the really strong track on Roto-Grooveur that wasn't. There are a couple of things about this track that make me feel very throwback, which is not a bad thing. But I like it very much. I think, honestly, I think it's a great album ender.
Well, I'll be honest with you. We've really analyzed this too.
We've done a show that's twice as long
as the
album.
It's true.
It really is. The album is very, very short.
The album is 17 minutes, and the show is...
You're going to listen to this album, and you're going to say, wow, it is pretty good. And you're going to say, wow, I wanted more. And I'm wondering if there's any outtakes that we could get later on.
Well, that's the thing. You know, 9 songs, especially in the CD age, is too short. It's not like the songs are long, which they're not. I'm glad there's an LP out of it, and maybe they were thinking LP, because if it was 9 songs on LP, you wouldn't care.
Right.
So, you'll get the LP for the collector, but oof.
Right.
You're right. Maybe, like I said in the top of the show, maybe we should have put the DVD as just standard with the album, because then you're getting it for the price, because you are getting a little bit of... short change in terms of the music, and it is such good music that you really want more. And we're not saying that with the Beatle bias, people. I know people accuse us of being, you know, Beatle biased because, you know, we...
Well, we do a Beatle show.
Yeah, we do, but...
They accuse me of being Beatle Bailey.
Oh, actually. Beatle Bailey. You know, but you know what, Rob? We've had definite disagreements about Beatle solo music where I'll give it a 5 or a 6. People give it a 10. People give it a 9. We tell it like it is here, and... To be honest, we're not setting up any interviews at this moment with Ringo, so it's not like we're kissing anybody's bum or arse or whatever you want to say.
Well, that is something, you know, he's doing an interview with Russell Brand to promote the album, and that's basically, if I think...
But it's also the kind of thing that, in truth, you know, if you bumped into Ringo on the street, none of us would be sitting there and going, oh, hey, Ringo, avoid speaking of new album.
Yeah.
It would be, hey, Ringo, great new album.
Right. An afterthought of why he's not doing a lot of promotion this time. Think of every album he's done since Vertical Man, and it really hasn't helped the sales. Though Liverpool 8 did get a little bit of a jump. Because
Why Not? He did a lot.
He did a lot for Why Not. He did a
and
ton
after,
for Vertical
and
Man.
And after our show, didn't it go up to number one in the... What do you call
usually,
it?
And I know people are going to say we're patting ourselves on the back, but...
It is kind of fun to see, though.
You know, whenever we do a show on an album, it usually jumps to number one for that individual Beatle on iTunes, which is kind of... We're going to imagine it's because of us
and all
of you.
So
absolutely.
Go out and buy your
go
copy.
Go out and
of
buy
Ringo.
Your copy. Well, you're going to buy
it. If anybody asks you, tell them you heard it here first.
I do hope that if he does a performance type of thing, that he does play more of the new album. Because this is also, if he were to do what most artists did, not to bring out the all-star band, but go out as himself, this album would be very good live.
Definitely.
And it's funny, you said Step Lightly could be really cool because then he could be satisfying the older fans.
Right, right.
Just doing a little faster. So, and that would be a nice song to do.
And I also think if you were to do Step Lightly with that slower arrangement, you could, you know, maybe have people go into the bathroom if it's done live. This is more of a strum. And Ringo's live shows have always been mostly upbeat. There's not a lot of slow songs in that.
That's true.
And he could tap while the organist is playing. No, while the organist, whoever he has on drums at the time, but he could actually do the little tap thing and satisfy everybody. So we usually do a little round table of what we think this album rates from 1 to 10, number-wise. So, Rob, why don't you give us your honest opinion without the Beatle bias?
I'm thinking for many reasons. First of all, it's a shorter album. There's some things I'm quirky about it. To me, it's a lot of good songs, but it's not an album, a cohesive album. I want to say 7.5, but I think in the long run, this will turn into an 8.
Okay.
So 7.5.
A Liverpool 8?
No, a curveball 8.
Right. Tony.
I'm going to go with, I would give it an 8.5 if it weren't so damn short. I'm going to take off a half a point.
I'm going to take off a half a point for length, even though... Sorry.
Folks, Harvey Fierstein is in the studio.
No, that would be...
I'm going to take off a half a point for length.
For length.
No, no really, I'm going to take off half a point, and I'm going to give it an 8. I'm going to give it a strong 8. And I'm going to say, good on you, Ringo, man. Keep going. Next year, too. I'll take another one.
One thing I do enjoy is that Ringo, who hasn't had the sales that a Beatle should have as a solo artist, continues to put out music.
Yeah.
Where other artists, Billy Joel, don't put out music anymore because...
David Bowie.
Because they feel, well, I'm not selling anymore. Why should I do it? And I really think... If you're a musician and you still have it, you should do it. And he's doing that.
Yeah.
Whether you love this album or all of Ringo's albums, you put this in the middle or whatever, he's still doing it. And I think that's important. As much as I love Billy Joel, who's one of my favorites of all time, it's been almost 20 years since he put out a full-length album of pop music. And he has said over the years, well, you know, wasn't selling anymore. Well, so
said
what?
He couldn't best himself. He didn't want to try. To compete with the old Billy Joel.
Well, then, you know, maybe you should go out on tour and not do the same 17 songs.
Right. Hey, man, Roger Daltrey just did a tour a couple of years back called the Roger Daltrey Use It or Lose It Tour.
Great, great term.
You know, Use It or Lose It.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, though, like I said before, I'm going to rate this album. No Beatle bias here. I'm going to give it an 8. Because it's so short, I wanted more. I would have given it more if it had more songs.
More meat.
More meat to it. There are a couple of songs that I didn't like as much as the others. I'm not saying I hated them, but I think it's sad to me because a lot of people go into this with the Beatle bias and not the right way. They'll go into this with the Ringo solo music bias and they say, I don't like anything Ringo's done in his solo music. I'm not going to give this a chance. And I think you're missing out on an opportunity to hear some fine music.
There are certain people who don't like Ringo's solo career, and you know, that's fine.
And there's certain people who don't like any of the solo careers, and they just want Beatle music.
And with all due respect to the new music that's out there, you know, for those of us who are older and may not be really running out to go get the most recent hip-hop and are not loving Miley Cyrus, and, you know, I mean, the catch is that there aren't too many of the old schoolers who are still out there and regularly putting out music.
You know, you think it would be easy to put out music. Ringo said he recorded this in, like, his house.
Yeah.
It's become that easy.
And to me, what it does, it tells me, you know what, go out and have a listen to this. Because you're looking,
just
if you're
listen
looking
to it.
For that music that's in the pocket.
Just try it.
Of the type of stuff that if you're a Beatles fan or if you're just a straight-ahead rock and roll fan and this is your bag, go out and
well, there will be that people with the Beatle bias that go automatically buy it because it's Ringo and it's the Beatles and they'll do it. That's fine. If you were inclined not to go buy this, I'm not saying buy it. You know what? I don't care if you get it wherever you get it. Just listen to it and at least give it a chance and go from there.
Well, if you're going to listen to it, buy it.
Buy
you
know it.
I mean? Yeah. I mean, although then again, you can listen on things like Spotify. And
yeah, but you should buy
it. Go out and buy it. Support Bongo.
Support Bongo. He needs, the money.
I like the fact that he's still doing it. And when he tours in the summer, I'm going to be happy to see him because, you know, I want to see who he first really brings out with him. But I also think he gets a kick out of it, and he's still enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's not like I have to go out and do this.
Because I'm Ringo.
He doesn't have to do anything.
Right. But you know what? He's doing it pretty darn well.
He's got
to
pay taxes.
Yes,
we all
right.
do. Anyway.
Nope.
Okay.
So this has been our analysis and review of the Ringo 2012 CD. We hope you enjoyed it. We want to hear what you think about the album after you've gone out and bought it, because you will. I know it. Or else we'll come after you.
Nice.
No, but we want to know what you think about it. You can write us at all the places you've always written to us. As I said at the top of the show, we are transitioning to a new name. We will give you new email addresses in the future. But for now, all the old methods are still there. We have a request. If you're listening to us right now, you must have a device that can get on Facebook. The guys at Fab 4 Free For All would like you to know that their new Facebook page is now up, and we would like you to like us, so we know you're out there. And we'll have a database of all of our fans, and we can then communicate with you in a timely fashion. So please, go to Facebook, look up Fab 4 Free For All, that's Fab, the number 4, Free, the number 4, All, and like us, and we'll stay in touch with you. There's 500 of you now, but we know we have thousands of listeners because we've tracked it. We all have individual Facebook pages. You can talk to us there and all that good stuff. So
that might be the best place to go right now, the individual pages.
Individual pages.
Yeah, because then we can just friend you and then...
We are transitioning.
We all have Facebook pages.
Yes, and we don't want you to think that we're leaving you out. So whichever one you want to go to and do, that's fine for now. And we'll get you. We definitely will not miss you. So...
No, we would miss you, so we don't want to
miss
you.
We don't want to miss you. That's
right.
What I meant.
Yeah, no.
Miss you. Okay. So, for the very first, as we said, premiere episode of Fab 4 Free For All, this has been your moderator, Mitch Axelrod, with Rob Leonard.
Have a good day.
And Tony Trugardo.
And if you're listening at night, have a good night.
And we will see you soon.
Fab 4 Free For All was edited and produced by Tony Triguardo at Word of Mouth Studios in Westbury, New York.
The opening and closing theme is My Dolly by the band The Badge, featuring longtime listener Jeff Slate, available on its debut album Digital Retro and recent Best Of compilation, as well as from the Fab 4 Free For All website.
Thanks for listening to Fab 4 Free For All.